Brennan.
Hello, Alan.
How's it going today? We're it's been mere like hours, it feels like, since we've recorded last.
Yeah, it's like we might not have anything to talk about. It's like the world hasn't done anything.
Right. Well, and for all our listeners who, especially the ones that like marathon our podcasts, all of those that like, you know, listen to them back to back to back, you know, there's like no time in between. So it's very strange.
And there is treatment for such binge behaviors. You might want to consult someone about that.
Are there 12-step podcast listening programs yet?
There should be. It should be a thing if you're listening to this podcast.
Right, you could listen to all, wow, is it like 26 hours of them now or something? Almost that. Not quite that many.
I want to get to the point where someone can just leave it on and they'll run the battery out on their iPod.
Wow.
And still, before they run out of podcast.
Then you know we've made it.
Yeah.
When we've successfully killed an iPod.
Yeah, if with a free podcast, what are your other measurement criteria going to be?
Yeah, I know. There are some metrics that we get out of the various websites that, you know, we've distributed our podcast through, but I feel like all of those numbers are kind of like fudged or otherwise not reliable. But I don't know. I mean, I can believe like somewhere deep inside that, you know, we have, you know, 70
however many we
week.
Have.
And maybe that's true. But every once in a while there's one where it's like, oh, we only got two. I feel like the number is somewhere in between those two numbers.
No. Well, that's two in a day. That's not two for the whole episode.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll, you know, when they can figure out how to make the internet, you know, usable for statistics and data, maybe we can get something out of it later.
That will be the internet. Will be the day that the internet dies.
Yes. Well, apparently the computers in general just are pretty good. So you found an article last week about Watson. Or wait, we're not starting there.
Damn it! We practiced this, Alan. Come on.
This didn't go anything like it did in rehearsal. Oh.
Okay. It's almost as if there was almost no preparation for this episode. It's as if mere seconds were spent.
Right. So let's back up a step.
Don't show them how the sausage is made, Alan. Come on.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. And there's no way that I could edit this out or anything like that, right?
Well, the problem is that was actually a really good transition. And if we were smart, we would have just gone with it.
We would have rolled with it, but no.
But
no.
That's not, that. Yeah.
No,
that's
not no. Us. No, right now we're going to talk about the Postal Service. And I'm not talking about the band, the Postal Service, even though they are reuniting for shows at Coachella, which I think is pretty cool. And I believe they're even re-releasing their album and like adding two songs, which sucks because I already own their whole album and I don't want just those two songs, but we'll see how it goes. But anyway, not that Postal Service, the U.S. Postal Service, which apparently is considering removing Saturday delivery for mail, which we talked about it very briefly, and I think it's just kind of, people use mail still?
When was the last time I sent something on a Saturday?
Or needed to get it on a Saturday.
Right.
Right. I think it's kind of silly that it's a plan that will supposedly save money. You know, of all the things that we could, you know, save money with the government, the, you know, losing Saturday delivery kind of doesn't seem very up there on the impact level, but you know, whatever. I guess I can live with it.
Well, it's not a plan to save the Postal Service. It's a plan to let the Postal Service die slower. I mean, there is still, you know, an attack on all areas of government.
Yeah.
Trying to make everything privatized.
Right. And then, I mean, this is moving in that direction. And I think I'm a fan of the Postal Service, both the band and the U.S. Postal Service. But
mashup. That's how you save the Postal Service. Do a charity concert with the Postal Service.
It would probably work. I think it would work. But that's just because I like, what's his name? Ben Gibbard from the Postal Service and Death Cab for Cutie. Anyway, used to be married to Zooey Deschanel. Why do I know so much about this right now?
I don't know, Alan. I don't know.
Anyway, Postal Service, that's where I'm going.
See, you got distracted thinking about Zooey Deschanel, didn't you?
Guilty as charged. But yes, the Postal Service losing its stuff. I mean, it's a public kind of service that is government supported and not. And I feel like those are good things. I mean, public schools are good things, right? The internet is a good thing. I mean, as much as that is a public-supported service, it was kind of built on kind of a lot of ideas that were in the public sector, or at least, I mean, it was for a government kind of purpose to have the internet. And I think a lot of kind of good can come from that. Public broadcasting. There's a lot of public spaces that I'm kind of in favor of, and I think the government should support, and I think there should be more of. I don't mind private funding behind a public service as long as the service actually stays public. What I'm kind of anti is the privatization of spaces that seem public. And I'm looking at you, Facebook, and general social networking, right? I mean, it's kind of a public service, but it has to turn a profit for somebody. And it's really, I find that just an inherent conflict of interest if it's actually a public service, which it isn't. And that's the thing that people don't.
You're talking about Facebook?
Yeah, we're still talking about
it. Yeah, that is not a public.
Right. Right.
It's just everybody uses it.
Yeah, yeah. But there, I feel like there should be things like, maybe not like Facebook, because it's hard to, I don't know, it's hard for me to justify that as a public service. But
maybe the Postal Service could start their own Facebook. Go face letter or something, elbow letter or something.
Face,
I don't know.
Yeah, face. Face. Oh, come on. There's got to be a book term that. Face envelope? That doesn't really work at all.
Shin Kindle?
Someone out there is going to come up with a really good one, and they
send it in. Yes. They're screaming it at their iPod right now.
Right, right.
Whatever device you listen to, your Zoom. You're screaming at your Zoom. Nobody's screaming at their Zoom.
If you are listening to this on a Zoom, I will personally congratulate you.
I will buy you a beer. Limit one per episode.
Yes, yes. but yes, Postal Service losing a day, sort of a bummer. I'll find a way around it. I still think that there are probably better ways to save money in government, but far be it from me to figure what those out. But actually, it's very interesting because the next topic we're talking about is Facebook.
What?
Amazing, right? So
it's all part of the show.
Yeah, it's all part of the show. All part of the show. Come one, come all. Thank you for listening. If you've continued to listen up to this point.
And this was the episode when they went off the rails.
Yes. More than normal, actually, really. But the article that I found was about Facebook envy, which I guess, I wish I had remembered the name of the school. It was a university, right? That
Yeah, it was actually Berlin's Humboldt University. I didn't know there was another Humboldt University.
Wait, so are you saying it's like the Humboldt University equivalent in Germany?
I don't know about it. I don't even think they... I think that would be something more like in Amsterdam, but... So is a former student of Humboldt University, not Berlin, the Arcata campus.
Yeah, that's what you should say. You should say, you know, oh, the Humboldt University.
Arcata's Humboldt University?
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Berlin's.
Right. Well, anyway, the thing that they found out was that some people would become depressed when viewing other people's Facebook profiles or not receiving the same amount of likes or shares or, you know, whatever, what have you. I mean, we can retweets if you're in the Twitter kind of verse. It's really just any kind of
attention,
right? It's social media as a, you know, measuring kind of happiness via other people's social media experiences. And I have to go out on a limb and just say this is not a thing. We haven't discussed this, so I don't know what your thoughts are about it.
I mean, just the fact that it's a social media does seem to trivialize it, but that's a real phenomenon in real life.
Right.
People, you see the person with the nice car, you want the nice car.
Yeah.
You see the person with the nice amount of likes, you want them? No, okay, no, that's bullshit. No, never mind.
Well, but it is interesting that, you know, you see a person with a nice car and it's like, that's a like physical thing, right? It's like, there it is, that's a car, I can kind of judge it on its merits versus my car, etc. But number of likes is, it's just a metric. It's just like, this many people might have seen it that day, and the actual, you know, implications of that are actually still being worked out by you know, the companies that are trying to use that as a business metric. I mean, it's not even fully understood by them. I mean, just purely the number of likes doesn't necessarily mean anything, because
Is that metric any worse than being envious of someone's score when you're online gaming? It's like, oh, that person went 40 kills and only 2 deaths.
Well, it's even less than that because so for a while when I was using Instagram, I had found a website called Statagram, and what they did was they would map a lot more statistics onto your Instagram feed. And so the basic Instagram feed, it was bought by Facebook, so it has that likes and comments. That was all you could get. But what it would also do is they had access to more stuff in the database. So like when they would correlate when it was posted versus when the likes came in. So you would see that like you were more likely to get likes if you posted at this time of day or things like that. And it became this kind of thing that you could like almost game out. And
we would never do that with when we release and promote our podcast.
No, not at all.
No.
Don't look at the timestamps of any of
they're
our
not times. Always the same.
Not exactly right. But anyway, so for me, you know, using likes as a metric for actual likes is that's bad. I think I can see how that clearly can become have a detrimental effect on you because you can take that personally. At the same time, I feel like this should not be an actual problem because no. I hope that people will see likes and comments and the nature of what you put into social media as much more disposable than, you know, interacting with people. Maybe I'm being too old school about this, but I just generally treat social media as almost completely disposable when I'm in it. I mean, I tweet a lot, and I mean a lot.
And there's a lot to say about coffee and cats and your wife, Alan. There's a lot to be said.
But one of the things that I do, and I think a lot of people who everybody who knows me knows this, is that I tweet and post on Facebook in haiku because it's so just absurdist, and I feel like it's just kind of the service that I can provide. If I'm going to put something out on the internet, it might as well be at least a little randomly entertaining, and that's what I get out of it. But I get that purely based on me putting it out there. So I don't look for likes or retweets or anything. I mean, I feel like it's just, it's, you know, like initially with Twitter, it was such a, and it still is for a lot of people, just a yelling out into the darkness kind of thing. And, you know, with a retweet or someone clicking like doesn't mean that they like it, like they actually like it. It's more like, you know, they saw it and maybe it meant enough for them to click the button. It doesn't mean that they like it. It just means that their finger didn't slip or slipped when they were
or it did.
Their mouse over. Right. And it doesn't, it's just so, such a disposable thing. So I mean, far be
well,
it
that's
from
because
me
you're to... a well-adjusted human being.
Yeah, far be it from us to tell you how to live your life.
Have you read a comment thread ever? The internet is full of non-well-adjusted people.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I think it should not be a thing. It should not be a thing. And if you think it's a thing, take a deep breath every once in a while and really interact with someone who, without needing to click like. You can't click like in real life. I don't know how you do that. Don't find a way to do that. That should not be a thing. You should just like things without having to click anything. Oh, that's good. So are we on the thing I was starting out with at the top of the show? Or are we
no, we're not. We're wrong again, Alan. Wrong again. We're okay, talking right. About turtles.
All right, turtles. Turtles kind of make sense. What is it about turtles?
Actually, turtle.
Oh, okay.
Yes. There's a turtle in Japan that has been given artificial flippers.
Like,
because her flippers were eaten by a shark.
Oh no, I was going to make a joke about how they were going to give her mechanized flippers, like in the, or robot rocket jets, like Gamera.
See, what came to mind with me though was the penguin from Batman Returns and his augmented penguins. When I saw the picture, I was like, oh, that looks deadly.
Okay.
It's the Oscar Pistorius of the turtle world.
Okay, so they're kind of are they
they're very stylish,
like on top of like stubs. Muscles that work, or are they mechanical? How does that kind of go?
It's still got stumps.
Okay,
but they're rubber, you know, like little plastic fins with a whole little suit that goes over the. Over the shell.
Oh, wow.
It's like a little uniform. He looks like he could be one of the X-Men. Or sorry, she looks like she could be one of the X-Men. It is a she turtle.
I'm sure they could work that angle. They should get an endorsement from...
But it's not small. It's a... Was it 212 pounds?
Wow.
And this is the 27th pair of flippers that they've tested.
Okay, so
this one finally, I think they finally got it.
Well, clearly an iterative process. I mean, I'm glad that they decided to keep moving with it and not just be like, here, that's what you get.
But the funny thing about this article I found, or the thing I thought was funny about it, was that it's about this turtle and its artificial limbs. And the only two other examples they give of artificial limbs are the dolphin that got the rubber tail.
Yep.
And Oscar Pistorius. That's one of the most amazing human beings on the planet. Well, I mean, he's mostly human. But it's like, and you get lumped in with a turtle and a dolphin.
Yeah.
Which are cool animals, granted. But yeah. That's, I don't know.
Oh, I have to link an article I found for a prosthetic hand that I guess for hands, for prosthetic hands, the most that they can do is still just kind of an open and close kind of muscle action. But they can isolate it so it can be controlled by like the same nerve bundles that would be open and closed, but the fine control on it is just not there to do like independent fingers or anything like that. But what I found
people the bird
was, yeah, right. It's not the bird. It's just more like the hand essentially. Right. But
you get the point.
Yeah. But what was interesting about this one was that you can change the hand position slightly. Like you can put them into more of a fist kind of motion, and then you can open and close, which is good for grasping kind of smaller things. Or you can open the hand up into kind of a pointing gesture, and then you can do things like, you know, there was like a finger wagging almost motion and things like that. And you can kind of set different base positions. So even though you can only move like in an open close motion, the base hand position offered a few more natural kinds of things. And one of the things I thought was also interesting in that was that because the normal kind of thing, because it's kind of a binary operation, you get kind of completely open or completely closed, neither of which looks natural. So they made a neutral state when you're not using your hand, essentially, which is like your hand is like half open kind of thing, which I thought was nice because it's like, oh, it's a lot less obvious that that's a prosthetic limb.
Your off-putting hand is slightly less off-putting. How nice.
So would you go prosthetic hand or would you go hook hands?
Oh, I'd want both. I'd want the option to switch off.
Well, yes, that's true. You would want the modularity.
No, definitely. But if I had to choose one, it'd be the prosthetic hand. I'm a big fan of Empire Strikes Back.
Okay. Well, not chainsaw hand then.
No, I mean, that would be nice for show, but the practicality of that is pretty minimal.
How was Army of Darkness, by the way? Kind of
it
going
was
in
amazing.
That prosthetic hand sort of
the,
way.
It was amazing to see. I mean, I've seen the movie Army of Darkness probably dozens of times.
Yeah,
to see it in a theater full of people who love the movie, when he jumps up and that chainsaw clicks into his stump, The cheer was it was great. And
for those wondering
live.
What is going on.
Oh yeah, sorry. Watch Army of Darkness. Spoiler alert: he has a chainsaw hand.
So but it was part of Sketchfest.
Yes.
And Bruce Campbell was actually there.
Yes, he did a Q&A that was moderated by Patton Oswalt. And so we interviewed him, and then they did a Q&A with the audience, and then they showed the movie.
Oh, wow.
And I made it to the second row, and it was amazing.
Did they they didn't talk over the movie, though? It was...
No, they did not. No, okay. They left. Patton Oswalt was sick, and Bruce Campbell did not seem interested in watching the movie.
How interesting.
I think he's probably seen it a few times.
Probably. They should have gotten... No, maybe not. Doug Benson, like right after.
Well, he did a showing. He did a Benson interruption of the movie Twilight right before.
Ooh.
Which I did not go to because I was not going to pay $20 to see Twilight, no matter how many funny comedians were there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good call, actually. But yes. So turtles with prosthetic flippers or prostheses in general, kind of, I think that's a thing.
I think it should be something. It's pretty cute, but it is a slippery slope.
Well, you don't want to. So Oscar Pistorius didn't win, right? So it's not an unfair advantage necessarily.
No, I'm thinking more of the more technology we incorporate into biologics, the closer we get to Judgment Day.
Oh, okay, I see where you're going. You just don't want the sharks from Deep Blue Sea is what you don't want.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm fine giving turtles artificial legs, but that's only as long as we don't keep advancing computer technology to be able to think like humans.
Okay.
Because that would be disastrous.
Right. You know, then they'll be, you know, we can keep them in slavery driving cars for us. Then it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, not that I would ever endorse slavery, but, you know. The robots.
But apparently, and watch this one, apparently we're okay with them figuring out cancer treatments for us.
Whoa, don't put me in with those people. I'm not okay with that.
So here's the topic that I was supposed to start with.
Now, Alan, do it now.
Apparently, is it IBM that was funding?
Yes.
So IBM funded the computer Watson, which gained fame or notoriety on Jeopardy, answering questions in its kind of creepy robot voice, or rather questioning answers.
Yeah. Right. Questioning answers. And not just answering them or questioning them, but absolutely crushing his competition.
Right. Including humans. You know, what was it? The winningest Jeopardy guy of all time, Ken Jennings.
Right.
So apparently, you know, they IBM needed something else to do, you know, with this robot, or not robot, but like supercomputer. And what they're doing is they're having it act as the back end of an app to do I couldn't determine exactly what was going on, but it sounded like you would get this app, and if you had cancer symptoms or were otherwise seeking information about potential treatments, you would put your information into the app. And then you would put the potential remedies that you'd gotten from your doctor or were thinking about or found out about on the internet. And it would do a comparison of effectiveness and then kind of spit out a, like, not a treatment plan exactly, but some other kind of diagnosis. And I at that point was just like, this is not right.
This is playing with fire.
I mean,
you're teaching them how to kill you. I mean, yeah, at first Watson's like, sure, I'll help you with your cancer. But then what if one day he's just like, well, what if I just flip these values and start giving people bad advice?
Well, I can tell, you know, I think we're coming at it from two different directions about how it's not a thing. But I like your answer too.
Okay, go on.
My issue is that this is a freely available app, and it's meant to be kind of a, like, you know, it almost sounded like the way it was described. It was you would go to your doctor. Your doctor would advise you on treatment, and then you'd go, but Watson says I should do this. I'm like, that's no. I'm anti. Self-diagnosis of stuff for the most part. I think especially on the internet, if you try and self-diagnose anything, like if you've ever had like a cut or a weird bump or something like that, and you thought, oh, maybe I'll just look on the internet and see how bad this is, it immediately goes to the worst thing ever that you could ever read about. And on top of that, there are pictures of it. I just don't use the internet to solve medical problems in this way.
Well, my understanding of what they're going to be doing is they're going to be distributing this to the hospitals. So it's not necessarily someone at home can do this. They're going to be giving it to the medical professionals to use.
Okay.
to analyze what the best way to provide treatment is.
Okay, this makes me feel a little better about it.
What makes you feel better? I don't feel any better.
Right. So the what other statistics are you plugging into this to determine if you're fit for treatment? Right. I mean, this isn't death panels. This is just death computer.
Right? It all sounds great until some robotic turtle comes up and gives you cancer. This is the future that we are hurtling towards.
And then you post about it on Facebook. And then everyone, like...
Nobody likes it.
No one likes it. And then you feel really sad, so you decide to get off Facebook and then write everyone letters to go analog and get back to being real. And then it turns out it's Saturday, so none of your letters go out. Yeah.
We wrap it up there.
Yeah, it's pretty much... See?
Well, you'll be wishing that one of those near-Earth asteroids would actually come a little closer.
See, it's a lot of stuff happened this week, really. I mean, a lot of stuff did. In the scant, 4 days since we talked last.
Well, I mean, we are recording later than usual, so that gives us some more time for things to happen.
Sure. That extra, 2 hours.
It is Fat Tuesday.
It is. For those that do that or otherwise just like debauchery, it's Fat Tuesday.
Or I saw a tweet today that said, or as America calls it, Tuesday.
Yeah. Or my favorite is Ash Wednesday, and I think this was an Onion heading. It was Ash Wednesday, or that day when that one guy creeps out all of our coworkers. Oh, yeah. Anyway, we had another topic in there, right?
Well, I mean, turtles is one thing.
Yeah.
I mean, giving a robot the ability... Okay, sorry. A computer, artificial intelligence, the ability to deal with cancer.
Sure.
Those at least are, something.
But, worthwhile endeavors. At least to some degree.
Right. But you know what is a waste of time? Hmm. In my humble opinion. Spy camera robot penguins.
So I've only seen the headline of this, and I only saw your like half sentence blurb about this. So you have to fill this in because I do not know what this is about at all.
Okay, so the BBC, they like to make their documentaries about nature,
sure,
which I really enjoy. But they're making
only if they're narrated by
Sigourney Weaver.
No. No, Hammond from Jurassic Park.
Attenborough?
Yes.
His brother, not Hammond. But yeah, so they, Planet Earth, one of my favorite things. Not just as a planet, but the documentary as well.
I think Planet Earth should be a thing. Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
But now they're making another documentary about penguins.
Just about penguins?
Just about penguins.
Okay.
They put robotic penguins, like fake penguins, to get in close and observe the penguins.
Oh,
and
God.
What do penguins do? Why are we so fascinated? Why are people so fascinated with penguins? All they do is stand around and crap on their feet. Why? I don't understand. They're not an animal you'll ever see in your life. In its natural habitat. Are you going to Antarctica? I don't think so. I just don't understand the fascination with penguins.
Wow, I didn't know you felt so strongly about penguins.
They think they're so cool in their tuxedos. But they're not.
So the BBC has made spy cameras that fit in, like, penguin-shaped things. That,
yes.
I guess they remote control waddle around so they can get kind of the you are there feeling of
uh-huh.
being around penguins.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, maybe this is a case of public money going too far.
Give more money to Top Gear so they can blow stuff up. I mean, you're going to sit there and watch birds that can't fly stand in the snow and look really cold.
I do like the penguins that have the kind of yellow and orange feathers that kind of come sideways out of their heads.
I will agree. They look like interesting little creatures, but they are bullshit. You heard it here first. I'm not speaking for the podcast. I can only speak for myself. Penguins are bullshit.
Well, all right.
Anything to add, Alan?
Yeah.
Sorry, throwing a bit of a rant there.
No, it's good. It's good. I know I've gone on my share, so it's only fair. We do have one other topic to rail against, and I think this is bullshit. I will go on this only, and I'm completely on board with your assessment of this situation. So, the International Olympic Commission, or I'm not
sure,
the committee. It's the IOC. They said that they're kind of changing up the sports that are going to be in the Olympics in Brazil.
It'll start in 2020.
Oh, okay. So we still have a little bit of time.
We still have some time.
Yeah, but in short, they're making a few changes to sports, and they kind of do this now and again. They add a sport, they take away a sport, and it's just it makes no sense. I think for them to take away sports, because it's saying that they're not kind of of value internationally. But anyway, they're adding rugby, which I'm in favor of. I think rugby
absolutely,
you know,
yeah,
that's cool, because you're the main thing for rugby for me anyway is that there's no pads. You just kind of wear thick shirts. I think there's no more, you know, using equipment, I feel like is generally an unfair advantage in any kind of sport. And so the sports that involve, you know, kind of direct human interaction, I think are the more interesting ones. So what's interesting to me, you know, they're adding rugby, which I'm in favor of, and it kind of works along that vein, but they're also adding golf, which, you know, is like the opposite end for me where that's like, I understand there's a lot of, you know, skill involved, sort of, but, you know, and then there's crazy.
It's not an Olympic sport.
Yeah. You know, crazy carbon fiber clubs and insane, like, I agree. Not an Olympic sport. Generally, maybe not the most accessible sport. Maybe kind of has a history of being a sport of people who are privileged, and I don't know. It's not the people's sport. Like,
it would be bad enough if they were just adding golf.
Yeah.
But they're not. They're adding golf at the cost of wrestling.
That's crap.
It's the Olympic sport.
Right. Right. So remember what I said just seconds ago about how the Olympics originally had very few kind of sports. I mean, the original Olympics in Greece was what is now, I guess, the decathlon, right? There was like running, there was throwing things, and there was, you know, a bunch of stuff, and wrestling. And that was it. Like, wrestling is one of the foundational, like, pieces of it. And in fact, wrestling's the only, maybe not the only thing, but it was one of the few things that I did in high school that, was an Olympic sport at the time. And it's like, well, you can't take that away. I mean, is there do you know what the rationale is for when they remove sports at all?
I think it has mostly to do with television.
No.
Honestly.
So that's garbage. Especially in light of how horrible the television coverage from NBC was with this last Olympics. I'm extremely disheartened by that.
No, I mean, can't get rid of wrestling. Whenever they show, like, oh, this is the ancient Olympiad when they did this stuff, they always show wrestling. It's right. always, that's the picture you see.
Right. It's the painting on the pottery whenever yeah. they show, like, look, this is how they would do the games, you know, back then. I mean, yeah, we're not, you move on kind of technologically from things. You move on from, like, we don't all use horse and buggies anymore, right? Because that's how progress works. But I think that, you know, wrestling as an expression of kind of human abilities is probably still valid.
if anything should go, kick out cycling. Cycling has shit the bed in regards to everything of what the Olympics should stand for.
Yeah. Yeah. And they already have their event, right?
Yeah, they've got their own event where they can go cheat and do whatever they want over there. And I enjoy watching cycling.
But, yeah. No, but
come on.
But right. You know, I know when cycling's on, the things that I like to watch for cycling are the ones that are like the ones that are also in the X Games. Like the or cyclocross or, you know, something not I mean the distance stuff that's in actually, some of the velodrome stuff is sort of interesting, but it's over so quickly. It's not really that that interesting. There's
like just as soon as you realize, hey, wait, what's on now? Oh, okay, yeah. It's over.
Right. So those are weird. And then the endurance level kind of stuff. I mean, that's just that is I think is hard to do right for TV. Whereas wrestling is just like matches and. I mean, that's where you get, you know, personal stories. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that you get lots of, you know, fodder for those awful, like, profiles that they're so fond of.
Well, and the thing is, with golf, they've got their own
channel?
Organization. They have their own TV channel prestigious events. For golf, there's the Masters.
Yeah.
For cycling, there's the Tour de France. Mm-hmm. For rugby, there's the, I don't remember what it's called, but they've got their own thing too. It's like the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
But wrestling, there's just the Olympics.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all there is, and they're going to take that away.
Well, there's also, you know, the Monday Night Raw.
Say Monday Night Raw. That's not the same.
Oh, it's not?
As much as I enjoyed that in my youth, yeah. That's not the same.
Right.
As a former high school wrestler, I am outraged.
Hear, hear. Well, that was a productive show, I think.
Not bad on only 4 days rest and a late night start.
Yeah, I think that was good. So we'll do this again next week. I think this will work out. We're going to be okay.
This is still going to be a thing?
Yeah, we're going to be okay, Brendan.
I didn't realize it was in question. I need to evaluate things, apparently.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
Goodbye, everybody.